The next item on the agenda is a report from the Executive Director of the American Council of the Blind, Mr. Eric Bridges.
Well, good evening. Pardon me. I think I'm starting to come down with something. It's been a fun week. I've been in California since Monday. Was at CSUN, where I actually got to go out to dinner with the woman sitting to my left, Kelly Egan from Sprint, and then she followed me up here. So, pretty cool. Well, thank you all for having me. Judy, thank you very much for the invitation to come out and be with you all. I have not been here since 2009, so a lot has changed in ACB, along with me. Nobody cares about that, but I'm here in a newer role as executive director. As many of you know, I was previously the Director of Advocacy and Governmental Affairs, and then the Director of External Relations and Policy. And so I've had this position for the last couple of years. There's been a lot going on, both externally with the work of ACB as well as internally to begin to build and professionalize the infrastructure of the organization. And so I thought maybe I'd talk with you all about sort of a mix of things tonight. Why don't we start on the national office side? There is a really welcome addition to our team. Her name is Claire Stanley, and she is the new advocacy and outreach specialist for ACB. She comes to us from the state of California. Oh my gosh. You guys, yes. She is from Orange County originally. She did her undergrad at UC Davis and got her law degree from UC Irvine. And for the last year, she's been working at the Mid-Atlantic ADA Technical Assistance Center in the DC area. And we're fortunate to have her. She's young, she's really smart, and she's very energetic. So all qualities that are absolutely necessary to be in a role like that, interfacing with our members, also the general community of folks that are calling in, that are in crisis. She also, you know, has technical expertise in areas that I think are going to be beneficial to us as we move forward with policy as well as legal advocacy in the future. So we welcome her. She's going to be working for Tony Stevens, who many of you remember from last year. He had a ball with you all last year. So that's big. The other thing that has happened since the start of the year is we expanded our office space, our physical office space. So we've acquired the rest of the suite in the building in Alexandria, where we're located, which allows us to do more, more meeting space, more space for hopefully in the future additional team members. So it's all good. Pardon me. So I've been out here all week, and at the very start of my trip, we were able to announce a very cool, never-before-done technological feat, and it sounds kind of interesting. It sounds sort of like Back to the Future. I was saying this to folks earlier. On Monday, we announced jointly with Cisco the first accessible VoIP phone system of its kind ever, which is awesome. Some of you out there are going, oh my God, it's not a smartphone, it's that goofy thing on your desk. Well, then you think to yourself, have I ever actually been able to use that phone to its fullest capabilities at work? No. What we've been able to do over the last year in collaboration with Cisco is to work with them to build software that will be pushed to these phones and make them accessible with just a couple of presses of a button. So in essence, that 8800 series phone, of which there are millions and millions of in current operation in the U.S., will have the accessibility if you want it. So there's going to be more information coming out about how to do this. We're going to be, Cisco's put together a documentation manual that we're going to be sharing as well with folks, because it's our expectation that employers are going to go and have this software push and also make the training materials available to their blind employees. This is a big deal, because what this will now allow blind people is the ability to enter into the workforce in a space where young sighted people have entered in for decades, as administrative assistants, as secretaries, as receptionists, and then move up within organizations. Also, this will allow for folks who are blind to actually be able to know who is calling them. What a shock, right? And to avoid people, right? Just like sighted people, we'll have the ability to say no, to be passive aggressive. No, but it's excellent. Late this afternoon, it was announced by Apple that they have put together and sent to the International Emoji Council. Yes, there is one of those. A set of emojis dealing with disability. And in their announcement, they thanked the American Council of the Blind, because we consulted with them on two emojis. One that is a guide dog with a harness. There is a service animal as well with a vest, so there is a distinction there that they're making. And a white cane. So you all will be seeing that here shortly. Kelly Gask is going to get that information out. But we work with Apple on a lot of different topics, and we've got a wonderful relationship with them. I was at CSUN this week and saw a lot of really interesting stuff. There's a lot that's going on in the technology space that is positive, but also, we are from a rapidity evolution standpoint, technology is advancing at a far greater pace than it ever has before. And there is a serious need for ACB to continue our work with these companies, because as they evolve and bring products at a faster rate to market, they don't always do it with clean accessibility at launch. And it is up to us as an organization to do outreach when necessary, to call them out, to call them onto the carpet for it, but ultimately to find ways to get to a solution that is acceptable for our community. So many of you are aware that Microsoft had some issues with Skype over the last few months. Those are being actively fixed. And we had a really productive meeting with Microsoft. Actually, they called the meeting to talk with us about what they're doing, but also to take stakeholder feedback. It was an excellent conversation. So I've just talked on and on about technology. There's a lot of other stuff that's happening. There's a bill in the Congress, H.R. 620, which I'm sure many of you are aware of, that has passed the House of Representatives that would eliminate the ability to file suit under the ADA. Obviously, we have grave concerns about that. And we've been active with our partners in the cross-disability community to fight against that. The bill is now in the Senate, and I am pleased to report that Senator Feinstein, we've been in a couple of meetings with her staff, she's attempting to find a way to deal with this issue, to, you know, punish the ambulance chasers, but still retain the ability for us under the ADA to do what is currently the law, for us to be able to file suit. So we are we're appreciative of that. Calls to her office, thanking her for her sort of championing this effort is, they would be welcome. 202-224-3121 in Washington, D.C. Unfortunately, in the House of Representatives, the disability community really was not consulted as the bill was moving through the legislative process. And that frustrated, and I think it's safe to say it angered us as an organization, and more broadly, obviously, as a community. If you're going to do something like this, why not bring in the folks that are going to be impacted by it? Apparently they didn't think about that, or they didn't want to. Probably they didn't want to. We were contacted last summer by a little company that's based in Mountain View, California, called Google. They had been contacted by the University of Hawaii. The University of Hawaii has developed an app that is being deployed in California, 15 national park sites. It's called the Unity app. And what this app does is each one of these national parks has brochures and all sorts of information. And it's really not very accessible. And so what this app does is allow for that information to be made accessible to us. And literally, you don't even have to go to the park to access it. But it makes the experience of a blind visitor all the more fruitful. And so we are collaborating with the University of Hawaii through the support of Google to do this. And our first test site was Yosemite, which is, as you all know, maybe you're a little jaded by it because you're in California, just kind of like I am about like the National Mall. But Yosemite is like one of our nation's treasures. And in November, a team of, I want to say 28, and somebody can correct me if I'm wrong, CC 26. You could have gone with a higher number. Okay. All right. CCB members hopped in a bus and went to Yosemite to test it. And it sounded like they had a wonderful time. There are many more parks to come, Muir Woods, Rosie the Riveter, just to name a couple. It has been excellent to work with the folks in CCB, Susan Glass and Sarah Harris and many others, to bring more access to our nation's parks through this project. And just really want to thank CCB for your willingness to work with the national organization and the University of Hawaii. Thank you. So we all care about our service animals, even if we don't have service animals ourselves. There has been quite a bit of news that has come out this year with perceived abuses as well as actual abuses of the Air Carrier Access Act with regard to airlines. Many of you are probably aware of the emotional support peacock that thankfully was not allowed onto an aircraft. I've never found peacocks to be really nice animals to begin with. I can't imagine when you get one in a cabin what it's going to do. Yeah. Anyway, the uproar, you know, and we hear from folks about quote-unquote emotional support animals lunging and attacking guide dogs. In January, Delta announced that they were going to change their policy. And they were going to do this for emotional support animals. But then there was a big and it said, and service animals. So they were going to lump us service animal owners in with emotional support animal owners and require a series of really onerous things that you would need to do before you could physically get on an airplane. We said no. And we had meetings with Delta regarding this, meetings through the Department of Transportation, as well as one-on-one meetings with Delta to talk about this. And I'm very proud to say that Delta saw the light, as it were, and rescinded the policy. The overarching aspect of this that was concerning that not a lot of people know about is that there wasn't a blind person sitting on Delta's Disability Advisory Committee. Plenty of other folks with disabilities were there, and yet they elected to go and do this. Now, Delta ultimately came around and made the right choice, but they did real harm to their reputation and brand, I would say, in our community. It's our expectation that this same sort of mistake will not be made again, as it was rather egregious, actually very egregious. On the heels of what Delta did initially, you know what United did after they had the peacock incident? They did the opposite. Well, actually, they did the emotional support, period, end of sentence. And they were clear about it, about the rights of service animals. So kudos to United. And if I might add, kudos to our board member. Actually, he's our national board secretary, Ray Campbell, who is a United employee that went to bat on our behalf. And just so you all are aware, Ray is not a guide dog user, but he is a huge supporter of the rights of guide dogs and their handlers. So thank you very much to Ray. We've got a lot that's continuing to happen. There's going to be a big announcement on Monday that I can't talk about, but we're going to partner with another nationwide organization. And actually, it's already kind of begun, but it'll be great for ACB to have greater exposure into the corporate world, not just from a digital accessibility standpoint, but also from an employment standpoint. And so I'm looking forward to having that information come out first thing Monday morning, just as a teaser. So I'd like to acknowledge, before I get the hook here, the work of my team. We are few but really effective, I would argue. And The folks that work in our national office, Kelly Gask, who many of you probably read her emails. She does all of our social media, but she also does our branding. For those of you that aren't aware, we, as part of our strategic plan, we have adopted a new logo that's very clean, very simple, very 2018, and a new tagline, Together for a Bright Future. She's working on that. She's working on all of our other publications as well. She has an undergraduate degree in graphics design, so she's really quite good. There's a new website, acb.org 2.0, that will be launched late this spring, early this summer. Sharon Levering, who's the Braille Forum editor. She does a tremendous amount of work, and she, along with our folks in our Minneapolis office, do all of the AMMS membership certification work, which 'tis the season. And she's doing a wonderful job. Tony Stevens, our Director of Advocacy and Governmental Affairs. He is a supremely talented advocate. There's a lot of work that's out there that needs to be done, and Tony is focused. He's also very thoughtful, and he's got a great way about himself in tackling really difficult, controversial issues, and we're lucky to have him. Claire Stanley, who I talked about, she's just in her second week. Nancy Becker, yay, indeed. She's so much more than just an accountant. There's a lot there. She has played a big role in our strategic planning resource development committee. At our board meeting in February, the ACB board agreed to create a legacy endowment fund. So folks that pass on and leave money to us, the bulk, the lion's share of that money is going to go directly into that endowment fund to help us in the future. This is a big step for us in our financial management, and it's going to serve us well, maybe not today, but in the years to come. I firmly believe that. Lori Sarf, who does all of our the work with our two thrift stores, as well as all of our human resources and payroll, really unsung but very critical day-to-day tasks. And then our new colleague, Nancy, there are two Nancys, and you know what? They're both married to guys named Dennis. How weird is that? She took over for D. Thien, who retired. By the way, D. Thien loves our organization so much that she's coming to the convention to help this summer. Wow. Isn't that cool? And Lane Waters, who is still with us contracting. That's sort of the team. We've got other contractors as well. Joel Snyder, the head of our audio description project. Larry Turnbull, the head of ACB Radio, and our server administrator, all things IT for the offices. Tom Tobin, our director of development. And somebody that many of you are well aware of, Jolynn Bailey Page, our grant writer. We're really happy to have her on the team. So this is the crew, and I'm hopeful that we will be expanding in the future to cover other necessary roles. But the work of the national organization cannot get done without them, and ultimately we rely heavily upon affiliates like you all to assist folks to call into the office that are in dire need of immediate assistance. And having the ability to reach out to Judy and others within CCB when folks are in crisis is a big deal, because you all are on the ground and can provide the immediate help that these folks need. And it can be a trying time taking calls in our offices, folks with very real challenges. So thank you for that. I just want to close. You know, this is it's fun getting to go around to the affiliates to meet with folks. I've essentially grown up in this organization for the better part of the last 20 years since I was in college. And so it predates me being employed by ACB. Just wanted to thank you for the warm welcome and wish you all a great weekend and a successful 2018. Thank you.
All right, we have time for probably one, maybe two questions if they're quick.
People got to ask them at dinner.
Please, no more hard ones.
give them the softball questions. Looks like there are no questions? No questions.
Okay.
That means you did a wonderful job.
That's right.
Or everybody fell asleep.
All right, well, thank you very much, Eric.
Eric has to get up at 4:30 in the morning.
Yes.
Thank you, Eric.
All right. Is somebody calling
for
the floor?
Let's give Eric another hand.